بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وعملا يا كريم اللهم إنا نسألك صلاحا في أقوالنا ونسألك صلاحا في أفعالنا ونسألك صلاحا في قلوبنا يا حي يا قيوم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم إني أعوذ بك من أن أشرك بك شيئا ولا أعلم أستغفرك لما لا أعلم به. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam and my mothers and fathers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. O servants of Allah and O children of Adam, indeed all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said,
لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ.
All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who said that indeed in Yusuf and his brothers were signs for those who ask. We praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we seek wa ta'ala, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the evils of our souls and the adverse consequences of our deeds. Whomsoever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees guidance upon, then none can decree. And I bear witness that they know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Messenger. Fayusuf, Nabiyullah, Ibn Khalil Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. My dear brothers and sisters, my dear brothers and sisters, and my dear mazallah, personally I cannot even express my happiness at being here with you all, mashallah, tabarakallah, in your wonderful country. I've been here for a few days now, and today marks the last talk in our series Noble Pursuits, and I can't help but feel a mixture of emotions. Happiness because I'm still here, but sadness due to the fact that the end is imminent. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make my presence with you all a beneficial one. Ameen. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to decree my return to be with you all time and time again whilst we are alive. Ameen. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in the hereafter together in goodness. Ameen. I also extend my heartfelt thanks to the Bigatelli Masjid for their invite and for making this particular program together. I've heard, mashallah, so many wonderful things about this masjid. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve it in goodness. Ameen. And accept the efforts of those involved in running this particular masjid and all those that assist them as well. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, today I've been blessed to speak about a subject that is very dear to my heart and a topic that is very dear to my heart. Lessons from Surah is one that I have been looking into and researching, and I think my intimately with the Surah began in the year 2006. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed me to study this particular Surah and blessed me to teach it in many countries around the world, walillahi alhamd. And also blessed me to teach it from the outset or the offset of my journey with the Surah live on a radio station, I think in 2006, at the very beginning, live for 14 continuous days. So it's a Surah that I've had a long relationship with. And as we in the ayah that I recited to you at the beginning of our talk, a surah that has lessons who just ask. For those who just, for me personally, I think, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, that I have gathered from this particular surah at least 1,000 lessons. Subhana rabbi al-a'la. At least 1,000 lessons. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase for me and us all, because this is the reality of the Quran. The Quran is a book in which whenever you read it, if Allah opens your heart, you will learn something new. It's not like the other books that we read. When we read it and we finish it, then there's no point reading it again, because we've under-Quran. It's a divine book. And Allah has hidden, let's say, are the secrets of the ayat. There's a manifest and apparent meaning. And for those who ponder, there are thousands of hidden messages that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens to whom He wills through a process known as tadabbur. Tadabbur. And I have a talk online to each and every one of you, and you're free to listen. Tadabbur al-Quran, if you search for it using my name on Google. It's a short talk, a 1 hour talk in which I introduce this topic of tadabbur and share some examples of tadabbur al-Quran. Tadabbur al-Quran. And inshallah today the lessons that I will share with you is generated from tadabbur al-Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us those book and those who die by His book. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Quran a true companion in our lives. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this Quran an intercessor for us on the day of Qiyamah. And may Allah ta'ala Izzati Al-Ahad Al-Fard Al-Samad الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. Make our entry into Jannah or our position in Jannah based on this Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks us on the day of Qiyamah to read and rise, and make the last ayah that we read our place in Jannah. Ameen. Ameen. Indeed, we should make this dua in earnest. In earnest. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed us with the patience of Ta'ala Kareem. O servants of Allah and O children, lessons from Surah can never suffice. Believe me, I have experience and can promise you that 1 hour can never suffice in Surah Yusuf. And in fact, that until I pass away, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that when He's pleased with me and when Jannah is my abode, I am convinced that I will continue learning from Surah Yusuf every time I read it. Every time I read it. For there's never a time when I read it except that Allah opens for me a new lesson. And I'm excited. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Thus, I think we've lost the microphone. Bismillah. I think we... No, it's okay. If you just make it louder, I'll obey you. Bismillah. Bye. Testing. Bismillah. Testing. Bismillah. Shukran. It's working now. So after testing is the common way of testing the microphone. So as we were saying, that this surah cannot be discussed in an hour. In fact, I don't think if I really applied myself with one lesson from the surah, an hour would suffice. But I have packaged for you a couple of lessons, and maybe three if we give you that has been set for us today. And inshallah, as you will appreciate, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Now, before diving into these lessons, I want to share with you some knowledge which is considered preliminary knowledge that the scholars of tafsir mention in their books before they end the discussion of the surah. Is the discussion surrounding its revelation, or if there was a reason. To say the surah does have a reason of revelation. And they say the surah was revealed the disbelievers, and there's two versions. Some say that it was the prophecy of the Prophet ﷺ, And some say the Jews wanted to test the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thus and convince them, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and ask him about his brother Yusuf. Because they said that if he is in his brother Yusuf alayhi salam, and when he doesn't know about Yusuf alayhi salam, we will expose him as a fraud. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they asked him about Yusuf alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed,
نَحْنُ نَقُصُّ عَلَيْكَ أَحْسَنَ الْقَصَصِ بِمَا أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ وَإِن كُنْتَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ لَمِنَ الْغَافِلِينَ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed to you the best of stories from that which we have revealed in this Quran. Regarding this particular story, you are from the unaware. You are from the unaware. So this particular plot of their face, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed them as frauds and made that Rasulullah was indeed, for he was not brothers of, throw him down the bottom of a well. But the story came down and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned to them lessons and the history regarding Yusuf alayhi salam. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cited this particular story as the best of all stories, because from beginning to end it deals with the lessons of one prophet. It deals with the lessons and the story and the life of one particular prophet. Also, dear brothers and sisters, it was revealed. They've explained to us why it was revealed. They say that this surah was revealed just before migration from Mecca to Medina, when the Muslims were experiencing great turbulence. I think this machine here has become a heater. It needs, the temperature needs to be lowered. It's blowing hot. Just now, becoming hot. Bye. Make it cooler. Jazakumullah khair. So they discuss this whole topic pertaining to when the surah was revealed. And they say it was revealed when the Muslims were revealed after the Muslims were sanctioned in the valley of Abi Talib. And food was diverted from them, as well as medicine, as well as trade, and so on and so forth. So it was a great turbulent time. And went through that, we know Allah alayhi wa sallam lost Khadija radiallahu anha, a great supporter of his. And he lost Abu Talib, his uncle, another great supporter of his. Another great supporter of his. So this was another turbulent time for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he went to Ta'if. And when he went to Ta'if, he was stoned. He was stoned. And this was a time for him. So it was a time when the Muslims were going through great turbulence. And it was at this juncture that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose to reveal Surah Yusuf as a means of ease upon the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as a means of alleviating their difficulty. And we know that this surah deals with the difficulty of a young boy, Yusuf alayhi salam, and the difficulty of an old man, Ya'qub alayhi salam. And they were both prophets. So Allah, the ummah, that look, yes, you're in time, but let me ease your difficulty by telling you a story. And we all love to hear stories, and it's a means of ease for us. A story, previous prophets came before to test it. They were also tested. They were tested so severely. It wasn't a matter of taste, but this is true. He was in his 50s, around that particular period. So that was decades of pined for his sons. His salam pined his parents, his father, for decades as well. And to test. So Allah Ta'ala was giving him a hope. Thus this story of Yusuf alayhi salam was revealed. Now, with regards to the lessons that I've packaged for you today, as I said, it is a difficult task, and you can see the passion that I have as I'm discussing the surah. But I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's assistance and start with, O servants, deals with the family unit. For the story of Yusuf, in a great way, talks about family cohesion and discusses, talks about all the dynamics of a home. It talks about the parent, talks about the relationship between siblings as well. And this is what I mean when we talk about family cohesion. It discusses these dynamics and how they should be in terms of efficiency. And if they ascertain the point of efficiency, will be hitting the home. So the first that I have for you for this evening, and I ask Allah to grant me barakah in time, just take family unit. In the surah, starting with these ayat that I want to recite for you.
قال يوسف لأبيه يا أبت إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا إني رأيت أحد عشر كوكبا والشمس والقمر رأيت قال صياك على إخوتك فيكيدوا لك كيدا إن الإنسان عدو مبين وكذلك يجبك ومن تأويث ويتم نعمته عليك وعلى آل يعقوب كما على أبويك من إبراهيم وإسحاق إن ربك عليم حكيم.
الله سبحانه وتعالى begins سورة يوسف by telling us that Yusuf alayhi salam saw a dream that confused him, and he immediately went to his father and relayed this dream to his father. And when he relayed this dream to his father, Yaqub alayhi salam advised him actively to your brothers, lest they shall plot against you. Indeed, shaitan is a clear enemy. And then he advised his son and said that this, my dear son, is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete his favor upon you. Just as he completed his favor upon those before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will complete his favor upon you and teach you the interpretation of dreams and reveal to you prophethood, as taught to us by the scholars of tafsir. Just as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed that favor on the family of Ya'qub and upon the forefathers of Yusuf alayhi salam, Ibrahim wa Ishaq. Ibrahim and Ishaq. And he says, indeed, your Lord and your Rabb is all knowledgeable and all wise. I want us to dive into these ayat a little bit to see how Surah Yusuf teaches us about one of the dynamics of the family home, and that is parenting. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that when Yusuf alayhi salam saw this confusing dream, the first person he went to was his father. He didn't go to his siblings. He didn't go to anyone outside of the home. He immediately went to his father. Now, for those who ponder over this, they will realize that a child does not just go to anybody unless there's a relationship present between them. So the fact that Yusuf alayhi salam went to his father from the outset teaches us that Ya'qub alayhi salam was already an active and proactive parent. In that he had a relationship with Yusuf alayhi salam before Yusuf alayhi salam saw this dream. He would play with Yusuf alayhi salam, and he would advise Yusuf alayhi salam, and he would teach Yusuf alayhi salam. Thus Yusuf alayhi salam by default considered his father his hero. You see how we have deduced from Surah Yusuf how Surah Yusuf teaches us the importance of being proactive parents. Because Allah tells us He went to His father, but Allah gave yourself a brain, and He gave myself a brain, and He made us live life to understand how children interact with one another. If Yusuf went father wasn't tradition to this, to teach why he went to his father, which and in parent, this is the first lesson. This is the first lesson. And proactive parent in the way Yaqub spoke to his son, him this particular dream. Yaqub alayhi salam from this dream that my father or my child, that my child is going to be amazing. He's going to be amazing. Thus he proactively taught his son. He knew that Allah is going to test the son of mine. So he proactively advised him. And this is another lesson from Surah Yusuf regarding the first dimension that we're discussing. And that is the child. A 7-year-old boy, Yaqub alayhi salam turned to him and said, "Oh my dear son, ensure that you do not reveal this dream to your brothers, lest they shall plot against you." Now, who from amongst us has the guts to teach a 6-year-old child or a 7-year-old child a lesson? You know what? Shh, keep it a secret. He's too young, he won't understand. This child of understanding, we'll teach him then. When he's older, we will teach him then. Many of us are smiling because this is what we say. Our child is too young to understand. Now, we know that we send our children to school when? Around the age of 6? Around the age of 7? Right? Yusuf alayhi salam, in effect, is going to be taken, or he is going to be taken away from his father at this tender age. When we send our children to school, we are also sending them out of our home at this tender age. We learn from this ayah and these ayat that sent our before, whilst 4 and 5, 3 and 2, teach them and don't make the colossal mistake of saying they are too young, they will not understand. They will learn what you teach them. And if you don't teach them, somebody else will teach them. And if you don't make them understand, being a proactive person, for somebody else to do your job for you, rather do your job yourself. They are never too young to learn. Thus he commands a dream to your brothers. A proactive parent is that my dear son young, and I am telling him to be wary of his blood brothers. What will be the situation? To trust those protect situation. Thus Yaqub alayhi salam completes the parent's safi. An evil son in effect, son. If anything should happen to you, if your brothers might do anything to you, understand, my dear son, it's not their fault. It's the fault of shaytan. Never ever. It's the fault of shaytan. Allahu Akbar. He taught his son about shaytan. He was a young boy. And to prove how magnanimous the parenting of Yaqub alayhi salam was, we know that Yusuf alayhi salam was abducted. So Yusuf alayhi salam grew up in environments other than the environment, the pure environment, the environment of the house of prophethood. He grew up outside of that environment for the rest of his life. The most difficult years of any child's life, being a teenager, he experienced those years in a house with the people with one another. I know they were, because the minister's wife herself, Yusuf alayhi salam, so in what he and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that he saw him in the third heaven for beauty by Allah. When you read Surah Yusuf, and you'll see that eternally. That what if I told you what are the chances of a boy from 7 or 8 years of his life growing up in a house of shirk, growing up in a house of loose, where there's a house which lacks character, what do you think the end result of this boy will be? What would you say? You'd say, no. But Yusuf alayhi salam, forget being tested, meaning falling prey to idolatry, falling prey to the ill practices of this environment. He grew up in sublimity, Allahu Akbar. Not did he ever associate partners with the character that his father taught him. Why? Because his father did a grand job teaching him the university of life. Remember we discussed this during our first lecture, taught him the university of life at the time when he deserved to be taught. He didn't say he's too young, let me teach him tomorrow. When he's 10 old, after he spends 3 years of my with that could pollute his understanding. No, he taught him from the outset. And thus when Yusuf was forcefully placed in polluted environments, he remained healthy and wealthy. And subhanallah. Because this surah is amazing. The surah is amazing. The beginning ties up to the end, and the end ties up to the beginning. And Allah tells us, said, it Allah to me. When he removed me from the well, and he brought you out of the desert, me and my brothers. La ilaha illallah. Are you following here? What did he say? This is when he's in his 50s. Say, Allah was good, Allah caused hatred and between brothers. In pure English. Who taught him this? His father, Yaqub alayhi salam. Normally, when you ask a question, you're supposed to. I don't know if you know this here. When you ask a question, you're supposed to. You're supposed to. So, who? Yaqub. Did Yaqub have access to Yusuf alayhi salam when he was 15 and 18 and 20 and 25 and 30 and 35 and 40 and 45 and 50? Did he have access to him? So when he immediately met his father, he was good me when Allah took me out of the well and brought you out of the desert after Shaytan caused enmity between me and my brothers. This is the first thing he tells his father. As if he's so excited to tell his father, my dear father, you know those lessons you told me when I was 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7? Wallahi, I value them. And I made dua for you. Teach you some of the lessons. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. You see what proactive parenting does, my dear brothers and sisters. And Yaqub alayhi salam knew that my son is going to go through difficulty. And he's going to be tempted on guide his child. To guide. And remember, child, and after commanding, did we not say that? We said, command them and explain the command. And we gave examples from Luqman. Remember? From the story of Luqman. And remember that? Tayyib. Yaqub alayhi salam does this as well here. Yaqub alayhi salam does not tell this dream to your brother. But he explains himself. He goes, because they might plot against you. And then he guided his child because he knew, as we said earlier, that this child might become confused that how come my father is telling me to hide things from my brothers? These are my protectors. Right? So Yaqub alayhi salam said, my dear, Shaytan with my son is sensitive. So he turned to his son and said, oh my dear son, he said to his son, my dear son, understand from now, this lesson which is from the university of life, before we are separated, understand that you are going to go through difficulty. And whatever you go through, understand it's Allah's plan. This is how Allah favor upon you and teaching your dreams. And this is how complete upon the whom. This is how he completed the forefathers, Ibrahim wa Ishaq. This is the university of life. He's telling him from experience. He's telling him from history that my dear son, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was told to take Ismail and Hajar to a barren land. He was also tested. My dear son, Ibrahim alayhi salam, was thrown into the fire. He was also tested. Don't forget how they were tested, my dear son. And remember, when you being tested, that Allah is completing his favor, like how he completed his favors upon them. This is what Yusuf alayhi salam had when he was taken as a slave when he was totally innocent, and sold in a house of shirk when he was a person of tawheed, and as a prophet who was a son of two, when them and seduction and zina was rampant in that society, he never fell prey to it. He was a product of his core self. He wasn't a product of the nurture. He was a product of his core self, of that which was nurtured by his own father, Yaqub. And then Yaqub alayhi salam went to tell him. And remember, this is the lesson of what? The lesson of being a proactive father. Yaqub alayhi salam went to tell him, to teach him about some of the qualities of Allah. And he chose to teach him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the all knowledgeable and the all wise. He chose these two names and qualities to teach his son Yusuf alayhi salam at this young age. Why? So that Yusuf alayhi salam knows. He's telling his son, my dear son, when you are thrown into the bottom of a well and your shirt is taken from you and you are scared and think that nobody knows, understand that your Rabb is Alimun Hakim. Your Rabb is the all knowledgeable. He knows where you are and he's the all wise. He knows why you're there. And my dear son, when you are taken as a slave, even though you're not a slave, you're the son of a prophet and free, and you think nobody knows, and you're so young, understand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Inna rabbaka alimun hakeem. Allah knows where you are, and Allah knows why you're there. He's hakeem, he's all wise. And my dear son, when you are transported out of Palestine and taken to Egypt, a totally foreign land, because Yaqub was based in Palestine, when you are transported out of your homeland, understand that don't think nobody knows where you are. Allah knows where you are, and Allah knows why you are there. He's wise as to why you are there. And my dear son, when you are locked up in a room and nobody can see you, and you are being called to adultery and zina, and you think nobody knows, understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows where you are, and He knows why you're there. And my dear son, when you're thrown into prison, when you're totally innocent, and you think you're all by yourself, understand my dear son, that Allah knows where you are, and Allah is wise as to why you're there. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. He taught this young boy these lessons. Thus he grew up an upright person. And he remembered these lessons throughout his life. For when he was locked in the room with the minister's wife, he said, called him to her. What did he say? He said, Ma'ad, protection from Allah. Even though by now he had completed decades without hearing about Tawheed. The fact that came to his mind when he was locked up there, Ma'ad, take Allah's protection. When he was in the prison, and he met the two inmates, he tells them that I am on the way of my father and my forefathers. Who taught him that lesson, the way of his father and his forefathers? The young 7-year-old boy, he's telling the inmates, وَاتَّبَعْتُ مِلَّةَ آبَائِي. I am upon the ways of my fathers. No identity crisis like this. He would be suffering an identity crisis. He wouldn't know with shirk, with no morals, no manners, no etiquettes around him. He should be suffering an identity crisis. But in his 40s, he's proudly announcing that I didn't suffer an identity crisis. I know who I am. I am you, the Qub, who is a prophet, the son of Alim. I am upon the way of my fathers. So this is the first lesson from the story of Yusuf. I've packaged it under the title, A Cohesive Family. And we've discussed the first element of a cohesive family, and that is the father or parent. May Allah grant us the understanding. Wallahi, I can go on. In fact, I think this is the only lesson we can share with one another. But I really have some more I want to share with you. Please bear with me. Please bear with me. I don't know when I'll be back with you all. The summary is, we need to be active in our parents' life, in our children's lives. We need to be proactive in our children's lives. We need to be the hero, and choose your hero. You say, my dad. You should say, my dad. That's what you should say. Okay? Young boys and young girls. But remember, that for them to say that, you have to earn it. My dear fathers and my dear mothers. Yaqub alayhi salam earned the right to be the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect our... The second to family cohesion is the child-parent relationship. And then he plays as well. The initial ayat, Yusuf said, Ya Abati. Ya Abati. Oh my dear father. This is a lesson to the children on how to address their parents with the most beautiful of terminologies, in the most softest of ways. In the most beautiful of ways. Oh my dear father. Ya Abati, the softest way in the Arabic language. And mother, by adding this to the term Ab or Ya Abati. And this was from the Sunan of the Anbiya. And on Sunday we discussed the relationship between Ibrahim and Ismail alayhi salam. And they too addressed themselves with utmost respect. With utmost respect. Surah Yusuf also teaches us with regards to our parents that we should never use the truth against them whilst intending falsehood. We should never use the truth with them whilst we intend falsehood from the truth. Right? We're discussing now the dimension child-parent. First was parent-child. The first lesson from child-parent is speak to your parents with the most beautiful of words. Address them in the most beautiful of ways. The second lesson is never use something which is haqq with them with the intention of batil and falsehood. And we learn this from the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about them. And he says that they said,
قالوا يا أبانا ما لك لا تأمنا على يوسف وإنا له لناصحون أرسله معنا غدا يرتع ويلعب وإنا له لحافظون.
They went to their father when they wanted to get rid of Yusuf. They said, you know what, Yusuf is under our father's tight watch. We need to get Yusuf away from him. What did they do? They went to their father and said, Oh our father, what is it with you that you don't trust us with Yusuf? Emotional blackmail. What is it with you that you don't trust us with Yusuf? And we are his sincere advisors. Send him with us, so that we can race with one another and play with one another, and we will be his protectors. Yes, this is truth. This is truth. We his brothers, we his protectors. If you send him with us, we will play with him. Why is it that you don't send him with us? It's good for him to have exposure outside the home. It builds his confidence, right? We have to send our children out. Don't keep them always next to you. Right? It makes them mother's babies, and so on and so forth. This is in effect what was happening. This is what was happening. So they were using truth, but they intended with it falsehood. And this is known as emotional blackmail. And Surah Yusuf teaches us that this is not what you should do with your parents. And this is haram, and this is disliked. The second lesson. The third lesson Surah Yusuf teaches us with regards to the child-parent relationship is that we should never ever make our parents worry. Never. From being good to them is that we never even make them worry over us. If you tell them, father and mother, I'm coming home at 10 o'clock and you're stuck in traffic, which is mashallah something I think which a plausible excuse here in Sri Lanka. I think it's very difficult to make your appointments unless you are 40 minutes early for your appointment. If you're stuck in traffic, don't just say, it's alright, I'll be 5 minutes late, they'll be okay. No. Call them and say, Mom and Dad, I told you I'm coming at 10, I'm stuck in traffic. I'll be home at 10:05, inshallah. Or maybe a few more minutes past that. This is from being good to your parents as taught to us in Surah Yusuf. Surah Yusuf teaches us that we, from disrespecting our parents, is even making them worry over us. Subhanallah. Where do we learn this? From Ya'qub alayhi salam's speech to his child. Ya'qub alayhi salam said,
قَالَ إِنِّي لَيَحْزُنُنِي أَن تَذْهَبُوا بِهِ وَأَخَافُ أَن يَأْكُلَهُ الذِّئْبُ وَأَنْتُمْ عَنْهُ غَافِلُونَ.
Ya'qub said, you know what, my children, it saddens me that you take him, because I fear that a wolf might devour him. What did Ya'qub say? It saddens me that you take him. The scholars of tafsir say, we deduce from this that it's not allowed for you to make your parents sad. If they tell you, this scares me, this saddens me, whether it makes sense to you or not, it's out of birr and goodness to your parents that you don't even do that which makes them sad and scared. Remember we said tadabbur, how we extract lessons from behind the ayat. The ayah is just telling us a story, what Yaqub said. But when we ponder over it, we deduce a lesson. That from being good and diligent with your parents is not, you shouldn't even make them scared. If you're 1 minute late, call them. Subhanallah. Subhanallah, how beautiful the Quran is. Surah Yusuf also teaches us that we should look after our tongues always with our parents. Always. Especially with our parents. But look after our tongue always. Emotional blackmail is a big red X. Especially with our parents. Right? And we've discussed this from the ayat that we've taken. And we learn this also from other ayat in Surah Yusuf. For after they abducted Yusuf and tore his shirt away, they came home to their father at night with crocodile tears. See, this is from emotional blackmail and deceiving your parents and cheating your parents. Surah Yusuf is teaching us we should never do this with them. Some children, mashallah, they professional criers. And we know, in fact, you know, a two-year-old. Two-year-old is the best negotiator. A two-year-old is the best negotiator because they will, in the shop, in front of everybody, jump on their back and their stomach and kick and bring the tears out and scream until you say, okay, okay, I'll buy it for you, calm down. Have we experienced that? Right? Right? So, they came to their parents, they're not two-year-old children. Two-year-old children are excused. They came to their parents with tears. Allah says, وَجَاءُوا أَبَاهُمْ إِشَاءً يَبْكُونَ. They came to their father in the evening crying. So their father said to them, or they said to their father, oh, our father, we went racing with one another and we forgot about Yusuf. And we left him with our merchandise, with our belongings. And a wolf ate him. And you know what? You will not believe us even if we're telling the truth. You see, emotional blackmail. That's emotional blackmail. You will not believe us even if we're telling the truth. And then they presented the shirt to Yaqub alayhi salam to say, look, the shirt has blood on it. This is what happened to it. But Yaqub alayhi salam knew that they were lying to him. But Yaqub alayhi salam was an amazing father. He had hikmah. He had wisdom. He knew when to say something and how to say something. Thus, he said, nay, you have indeed formulated something, and I will exercise a beautiful patience. So we learn from this that we should never lie to our parents. In terms of the parent or child-parent relationship, we said, number one, talk to them beautifully. Number two, don't use emotional blackmail. Number three, don't deceive them. And from deceiving them is lying to them. Surah Yusuf teaches us that these are big X's. We should never have this in our relationship with our parents. It teaches us that the manner in which we behave with our parents will be the manner in which our children will behave with us. Allahu musta'an. Surah Yusuf teaches us this as well. That what you plant, so shall you reap. If you act with your parents in a certain way, tomorrow you will have children. And fear that they will behave with you in that particular way. Because towards the end of Surah Yusuf, when Yaqub is a very old man and he keeps on talking about Yusuf alayhi salam, the grandchildren of Yaqub alayhi salam say to him, قَالُوا تَاللَّهِ إِنَّكَ لَفِي ضَلَالِكَ الْقَدِيمِ. They say to him that by Allah, indeed you are in the same old era. Allahul Musta'an. Allahul Musta'an. You see what the grandchildren are saying now? These are the children of these brothers, these children who came home, the brothers of Yusuf, who came home and they lied to their father and they deceived their father and they used emotional blackmail against their father. These grandchildren, their children, have adopted this ideology with the elders. They're telling Yaqub alayhi salam that by Allah, he was talking about Yusuf. So they turned to him and said, by Allah, indeed you are in your old era. Disrespectful. Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us all. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, at this particular juncture, and that question, our relations, right? Our parents, children, are our parents truly happy with us? Are there days in our parents' lives which we would be different? Because Allah is about how the mother has a precedence in our lives over the father. And I want to imagine a mother to say in her letter. Would she not say, "My dear son, I'm the best news a human being can receive. I was informed that I was pregnant. I cannot express how that, and my body started changing. Because I could not eat except that I would vomit what I ate. And I would feel weak. And my body started expanding as you grew in me. And my dear child, I promise you, fear that I have with every day that passed. Though all this was the day that I held you, and my dear months, and I, to such an extent where I couldn't stand for long. I couldn't walk for long. And then a time came when I couldn't even sleep on my back because of the weight of carrying you would cause immense pain on my chest. So I would sleep on my side. But I would fear when I would turn to my side that I might roll onto my breast. And every day that passed, my love for you grew stronger. And desire to hold you grew stronger. Until my dear, when I felt a pain in which I would die. Wallahi, I thought I was going to die. A pain which I would not wish that my enemy felt. And it lasted pain after pain, second after second. When Allah, it felt like a lifetime. I thought I wouldn't a child that process. The moment when an evil word to you, or about rather, my desire for you, my desire to hold you, my desire to see you, kept me going. That inshallah, it's soon. And I carried on going. I never even bowed to you. Turned off and hatred towards you. As I suffered these pangs that felt like the pangs of death. And then my dear son, or my dear child, you entered this world. And when I saw you, the pangs of death that I thought I felt dissipated. And the tears that I had in my eyes became tears of joy. And that I felt in my body became a hurt as I held you and brought you to my chest and smiled and said, Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. Allah has blessed us with a great blessing. And then my dear child, it never stopped there. For the sleepless nights came after. Sleepless nights, my dear child, because I could not tolerate. I could not tolerate you. I would be so looking after you during the day. That when I finally got some sleep and you made one sound, it woke me up immediately because it would hurt me that you would be uncomfortable. So I got up and said, rather I be uncomfortable than you be uncomfortable. Allahu Akbar. This is what she probably would write. And I would pick you up and pat your back and make sure you fed and make sure the milk is at the right temperature so that you would experience utmost comfort. And then you grew up, my dear child. I saw you walking, and before that crawling. And then a day came which was difficult for me. And that was the day when I had to take you to school. And I held your hand, my dear child. And I took you to school. And you cried there. And I cried too. But I had to hold my tears because I knew it was good for you to be there. And I didn't want to make you upset that I was upset as well. So I held my emotions and left you there. And then my dear child, you grew in that school and you developed independence and you did things for yourself until a day came in your life and in my life when I was so happy for you but I was extremely sad as well. And that was the day, my dear child and my dear son, when you were getting married. When you found someone to get married to. I was so happy for you when I saw your happiness. But I was so sad as well. Why? Because my dear child, those few things which I love doing for you, somebody else is going to do them for you now. Allahu Akbar. Sometimes we don't understand our mothers. When there's a problem between mother-in-law and daughter-in-law, we don't give our mother the haqq. And say, she's just having difficulty dealing with the fact that she can't, I'm no more dependent on her cooking and her looking after me. That's it. She's just dealing with that. Sometimes we don't give our parents that haqq and that due.
And we say, what's wrong with you? Can't you be happy with me? I'm married now. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Surah Yusuf teaches us, don't even do that which makes your parents sad. She says, my dear child, I'm so happy for you. But I was so sad to do what I love doing for you. Subhanallah. We would say that's a chore. They say, no, it's my happiness to wake up and make you breakfast and maybe wash your clothes and make your room and check that you're happy and ask you every now and again, my dear son, are you okay? How was your day? It's our happiness. It's not a chore for us. We wake up for it and we go to sleep for it. Subhana Rabbi al-A'la. They gave birth to us at the end of the day, my dear brothers and fathers and mothers and sisters. This is what she would probably say. So in light of this letter, in light of this letter, my dear mothers and fathers, let us ask ourselves, what is our condition with our parents, especially our mothers? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us to be towards being diligent with our parents after commanding us towards tawheed. We discussed this during our lecture about bonds of kinship. And Surah Yusuf, from the lessons, is how to be a diligent child. What is our condition with our parents? May Allah forgive us. May Allah forgive us. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, when we discussed the bonds of kinship, we made a deal with each other. Remember? That you will go and make friends and make peace with those members that you had some trouble with. And many of you wrote to eyes and heart, called in, have apologized, spoken to for months and maybe years. And inshallah, this next Eid that's coming up, you will spend this Eid together. It was my happiness, wallah. And now, our parents. Thus, at this juncture, I want not going to make a deal with home and call your parents. I want you to take out your mobile phones right now. Right now. In this particular venue. Put your hands in your pocket and take out your phones. MashaAllah, I heard Sri Lankans listen to it very clearly. Walillahi alhamd. You don't have to repeat yourself when you instruct them. I want you to take out your phones right now. Let me see everybody with their mobile phones in their hand. Yes. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not for me. Not for yourself. For the sake of Allah. Perhaps Allah will make this your Jannah. Perhaps Allah will smile. Slave of mine. What he. For I have given him Jannah. Now. And for those who are recording, switch off recording and do this task that I'm about to tell you to do right now. I want you to phone your parents. And I want you to tell them. And I want you to apologize for your mistakes in your lives with regards to their khidmah and their service as per the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Phones, I'm going to stop. So don't stare at me. Allah, don't worry. We had loud people. Take out your mobile phones. Phone them. Text them if they're far away. And if they've passed away, then make dua for them. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes their grave a garden from the gardens of Jannah. Let's do that in the next 5 minutes. Jazakumullahu khairan. For the sisters as well upstairs. And if your father is in the audience, get up and go to him and give him a hug and apologize for your mistakes. For indeed, we are all weak and we all make mistakes. Let's do that. Jazakumullahu khairan. Perhaps the first person who does it, Allah will give him the greatest rewards because he will encourage the rest. Some people say it's not our culture to buy. Islam is a way of life. Islam is a way of life. Alhamdulillah. And this is what it's about. We don't know whether the angel of death is counting our seconds right now next to us. Counting. And we pass away before we told our parents we love them. And we would have lost the greatest. A great of our is set based on those parents who pass Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make their wa ta'ala, gather them with their children and loved ones underneath His arsh. May Allah grant them their books of deeds in their right hands. May Allah inspire the children they've left behind to do those worthy acts. Put those parents away. And may Allah bless with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I ask these tears that extinguish the fire of Jahannam. Because these are tears that are for nobody's sake but the sake of Allah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all. May Allah bless you all. Ameen. So, we've discussed lesson number one. And to be honest, I only to discuss the lessons. Because, see, we need a long time together. And may Allah bring me to teach the whole of Surah Yusuf. Insha'Allah, one day. One day, ameen. Ameen. So first lesson was family cohesion, and we discussed two of the three entities, and that was parent versus child and child versus parent. The second lesson which I want to discuss with you is something which we have to discuss. And that is because Surah Yusuf is the essence of this particular lesson. We would have an incomplete session together if we didn't discuss this, my dear brothers and sisters. And that is the lesson of patience, of sabr. Because this surah, as I explained to you, was revealed to the ummah out of difficulties and a means of ease to their sufferings. And we see in the surah a father who was in patience for his, a beautiful patience, as he says, and a child who experienced a beautiful patience for decades as well. My dear mothers and fathers and sisters, this world is a world of perpetual, for it is known as not the world of perpetual doom and gloom and punishment. World is a place in between, a place that precedes that place, a place which is the working ground before that place. And for those who work diligently, there will be perpetual happiness. And for those who lack diligence, may Allah protect, the abode will be perpetual harm. Or if they pass away as Muslims, then some form of cleansing before Jannah. May Allah be near Jahannam. Ameen. This world that we're in is the dunya. And this world is the world of testing. It's the world of testing. I want you to understand this, O servants of Allah and O children of Adam. Allah will test us in this world. Allah says, خَلَقَ يَلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا. Allah says, He is the one who created life and death to test you all and make manifest one of best in deeds. Understand this, O servants of Allah. Many of us think we're only being tested when we are experiencing some difficulty. And this is incorrect, my dear brothers and sisters. For we are being tested as well when we enjoy financial standing and when we enjoy material well-being. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us everything that we want. Allah is also testing us then. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَمَّا الْإِنسَانِ إِذَا مَبْتَلَاهُ رَبُّهُ فَأَكْرَمَهُ وَنَعَّمَهُ فَيَقُولُ رَبِّي أَكْرَمًا. Have we not seen where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that as for insan, when Allah tests him, when Allah gives him what he wants and blesses him with things in this dunya, what did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala call it? A test. It's also a test. Allah is testing us in times of goodness and in times of difficulty. And that is why Sulaiman alayhi salam, who Allah gifted with the properties of this dunya, made the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subservient to him. The jinn, the birds, the wind. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. That when he announces, who can bring me the arsh of that person who prostrates to the sun? There's a competition. There's a competition. Some say, we'll bring it to you before you stand up from the jinn. We'll bring it to you before you stand up from your throne. And then an ifrit stands up and says, I will bring it to you before you blink, and before you open your eyes when you blink. This is who Sulaiman alayhi salam had at his mercy. And what does he say? He says, this is from the blessings of Allah upon me. To test me, will I be thankful or will I be ungrateful? Yes, we are being tested, my dear brothers and sisters, even when Allah gives us. Allah is testing us to see whether we will thank Him. Some people Allah tests and they don't say Alhamdulillah. They don't say Alhamdulillah alladhi hadana lihada. Wama kunna linahtadiya lawla an hadana Allah. They don't say Allahumma lakal hamd kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik wa azim sultanik. They don't praise Allah. They don't thank Allah. They behave as if they are deserving of these gifts. This is a test. And Allah will also test us with adversity. We might have troublesome children. We might have a troublesome marriage. We might have problems in our job. We might have suffering because of the loss of a family member. We might have difficulty because we are unable to get that which we like. These are all tests. These are all tests. These are all tests. But I give you glad tidings for the second lesson from Surah Yusuf. I give you glad tidings, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam. And that is in these ayat in Surah Al-Baqarah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَلَيَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that indeed you will be tested. It's a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take peace in this. This is glad tidings to us. This is a means of ease for us. That when we are being tested, we know that it's not only us. Allah will test everyone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, indeed you will be tested with fear, with hunger, with a lack of financial standing and material well-being, with life. Allahu Akbar. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions those who pass his test. Like Ya'qub alayhi salam and like Yusuf alayhi salam. Allah says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ, and give glad tidings to the patient ones. This is what is for us, O servants of Allah. We remedy the test that Allah gives us with patience. And from being from the patient. And who are they, Ya Allah? Who are the patient ones, Ya Allah? Allah says,
الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ.
Allah says, they are those that when Allah afflicts them with a test,
قَالُوا, they say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ.
They say, indeed, and in Allah is what he took. Allah. These are those. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say about them as their prize, as their gifts? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ.
Allah says, for those is a from who created them that test. Allah wanted to give us a reward from Him. But the only way to get that reward was for us to go through that test. So that test was a punishment. Rather, Allah says, teachings and citations, a word from Allah, and special mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is only for those who pass those tests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ.
And they are from the rightly guided. Allah labels them the rightly guided. By Allah ta'ala labeled on chin. He removed financials. May Allah. Would we say no, Ya Allah? We rather have our material, our materialistic things. We would rather have this time al-akhirah. If Allah, again I test that you love, would you say that? Did you Jannah? Would you think about it? This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. Allah titles you the rightly guided. Why? Because you're from Jannah. This is it, O Safa Allah. And this is it, O Adam. Ballahu ahadan la. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you, He will test you. For He tested His Anbiya alayhim salatu was salam. He tested Yusuf alayhi salam. He tested Ya'qub alayhi salam. He tested Ibrahim alayhi salam. He tested Nuh alayhi salam. He tested all His Anbiya. He tested Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have you not read where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Alif Lam Mim.
أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون.
Have you not read with these? Alif Lam Mim. Does mankind think that it is enough for them to say I've been Allah, for them to say La ilaha Allah, وهم لا يفتنون, and Allah will never
تنذين من قبلهم.
Allah says, by Allah we tested those before them. Allah says, by Allah, Allah has tested those before us.
فَلَيَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا.
Thus Allah will make manifest which one from amongst us has truly believed when we said we believe.
وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ.
And Allah will make manifest who are the liars. Who say they believe, but their hearts haven't believed. They complain about Allah. They deny Allah. They say, Ya Allah, why me? Ya Allah, why are you doing this to me? Ya Allah, I'm making dua and dua and you're not answering me. Ya Allah, until when are you going to do this to me? May Allah from
and for us, Allah shook the earth.
Do you think you will enter Jannah? وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And what about the parables and lessons and history of those before you? You think you will enter Jannah because of your behavior. What about those before you?
مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاء.
They were afflicted with ba'sa, with adversity.
وَالضَّرَاء.
And that which we consider harmful.
وَزُلْزِلُوا.
And Allah caused the earth beneath them to shake. The earth beneath them to shake.
حَتَّى يَقُولَ الرَّسُولُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مَعَهُ مَتَى نَصْرُ اللَّهِ.
Allah says we shook the earth beneath them. That is how we tested them. You think you're being tested. Allah says we tested those before you, the Anbiya, to such a great extent that the earth beneath them shook until a point when the Prophet and those who believe shouted out and said, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming? Until the Prophet himself and those who were with him said, when is the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming? It is here, O servants of Allah, and it is here, O children of Adam, that the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Ala inna nasr Allahi qareeb. Allah says, here, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is close. Excellence is achieved on the verge of destruction. You want excellence? You got to be pushed to the verge till you feel you're about to fall off the cliff. That is where excellence is achieved. And when Allah pushes you to that extent and you pass, when a prophet takes a knife and puts it to the neck of his child, that is when the help of Allah comes. And he's given a ram to slaughter because he's passed the test of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. Do you see, my dear brothers and sisters? This is the lesson from Surah Yusuf. Thus, never ever deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And become stronger believers. And every time you are tested, say Alhamdulillah. And ask Allah to assist you through that test. And ask Allah to make you from the rightly guided after that test. And seek assistance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But never ever deny Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us the understanding. Ameen. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made easy, O servants of Allah, and O children of Adam, for me to discuss with you all today. And it is at this juncture that we say, Alhamdulillah, bini'matihi tatimmu salihat. That all praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For indeed, it is with His blessings that goodness is completed. It's only Allah's tawfiq and guidance that goodness can become completed. It's not in my hands. It's not in your hands. When Allah wants to reward His slave with goodness, يُهَيِّئْ لَهُ الْأَسْبَابِ. Allah inspires him to do those acts that are worthy of good. He inspires to somebody and say, please come visit our wisdom to do that. And inspires them. Allah wants to reward them, agree to accept. Allah makes together a reality. That Allah wants to accept goodness from those in the vicinity that the speaker has come to. He inspires them to see the message that announces a particular program. And He inspires them to say yes and come. For there were many that saw the advert but were not inspired to come, even though they had the ability to come. Thus understand its talk. Because ask yourself, it is, say, Allahu Akbar, illallah, wallahi alhamd. How easy is it of us, say? Does it cost us anything? Say it. They ask you, did you say it? What will you say? I forgot. Yes, you forgot. Thus seek forgiveness, a block to do goodness of Allah. May Allah forgive our sins. Our sins. And celebrating the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he said, Man la yashkur an-nas, la yashkurullah. That the one who doesn't thank the people, so thanks. Never thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is the greater thanks. In celebrating this hadith, I want to thank the Ka for allowing me peace and attentive, and I would like to thank evolve together a reality. I would like to a group of young headed by that's youthful as of my heart, eight that I've now dubbed the investors. Today we have many names like this. We have, as I hear from the youth, the expendables, right? We have the expendable, right? Yeah, right. And we so now we have the investors. I've dubbed this team the investors. And they're made up of a group of lovely people. May Allah bless them and make them a lighthouse for the other youth and inspire aspirations within the rest of the youth, that they come together in goodness and become ignited communities that benefit humanity. Ameen, ameen. I'd like to help, I would like to express a heartfelt gratitude to him and Hafiz, mashallah, our brothers who are running the Sri Lankan hub. I'd like to thank Sheikh Mu'izz, who I'm sure you all know and love, mashallah. Yes, he's part of my team. Adnan as well, our love, the Mas'ud, him, the Azad on what and on and you phone, mashallah. But he's always requests me Allah for me. I'm always saying, make sure there's a fan and make sure there's an air conditioner. And so on and so forth. And may Allah bless him. And may Allah bless Brother Abdullah and Sajjad and Nafis and Aman and Harun and Ayyub and Manasir. And last but not least, as I said, an uncle who put at heart, Uncle Azad, who held in hand, looked at me, that I will never ever think about coming back to Sri Lanka. Miss them all. All they drew. Give fire. Give them all. Ameen. Allah and O children of Adam, Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us death whilst He's pleased with us. May He grant us a grave which is a garden from the gardens of Jannah. May He grant us shade and the day of Qiyamah. Grant us opportunity to drink from the alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our right hands. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With our parents, with our spouses, with our siblings, and all those who we love for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And all those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raised in rank. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen. Everything correct said is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and mistakes are from myself and shaitan, and I seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's forgiveness. This marks the end of the title, Noble Pursuits, but it doesn't mean that we should stop our noble pursuits. Jazakumullahu khairan, wa sallallahu wa sallam, wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illa Allah, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, wa lillahi alhamd.
For more lectures, visit SLH.